Amen.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
God.
Yeah.
Thank you. give the Lord a hand.
So very thinking about the song she sung. Yes. She did a wonderful job, wonderful job.
Yes.
You know something, church, life is hard sometimes.
Yes.
And we get weary sometimes.
Yes.
And I'm sitting over there thinking about songs, the Bible, Jesus. And the only message I have tonight, and this ain't to take away from the preaching, it's just when we get weary, we've got to press on, weary pilgrim.
Right.
Weary pilgrim,
amen.
Press on.
Amen.
We've got to keep praying, keep trusting. Keep believing. I know sometimes it's easy to get so weary when we don't see
right.
the results that we think we should see. But God knows what He's doing.
Yes.
He knows what He's doing. I love the Lord tonight. I love Brother Mark. I'm thankful for him. Miss Macy and Miss Tasha being here this week. They've been a huge help to me. And Brother Mark has been a great friend to me. And I appreciate him.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate the Lord for putting our paths together.
Amen.
I appreciate him being here this week, sharing his heart. I think that he's fed our church this week. I'm excited about what he's going to preach about.
Yes.
Don't even know what he's going to preach about tonight. But I know God's here and God's going to use him. So you pray for him. Brother Mark, you come up here and share your heart.
Amen.
You take your time, brother. I love
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Okay. Amen. 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 Well, it's good to be here tonight. Amen. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord, don't you? He certainly has helped us this week. I hope your heart has been helped as much as mine has. And I always enjoy getting to come to this church. And it's a great honor and a blessing to be here with you this week. It goes by so fast. And but we're so thankful for the opportunity to come. And I appreciate Brother John Allen, Miss Nicole, and what a great, great blessing they are in my life. And I'm thankful for my friends tonight. I ain't got many. Somebody hit me.
Amen.
You don't have as many as you think you do. I don't have many. I just have a handful of friends. I do consider Brother John Allen my friend. And it's a great honor to be here preaching for Brother John Allen and for you tonight. And I hope that you love him, and I hope that you honor him, and I hope that you take care of him and be a great blessing in his life.
Yes.
And there's a lot of times I believe that a lot of churches, and by the way, I want to tell you, he brags on y'all a lot. And he's never told me anything negative about you people, I promise you. He don't ever say anything bad about you. He loves you. And so that's a blessing. You get around me 5 minutes, I'm whining about my people all the time. And but he always, Brother John Allen's got a great gift of encouragement. And that's what God's gave him. That's what God's put in him. And it's a great, great blessing. And you say, well, my preacher knows I love him. I know he does, but make sure you tell him. Don't just hope that he knows it and think that he knows it. Make sure he does know it. And it's a great blessing to be here tonight. And I pray that God will give you great things in the year to come. That God's got you in right now. And difficult times, rough times. We've been talking about in the last year, I guess, has probably been the most difficult time I've ever seen in ministry. And talking to preachers all over, it's amazing. There are great things going on at other places, but it ain't everywhere. And we're living in dark days, church. We're living in dark days. And the people of God have grown so cold and so insensitive to the Lord. And as he said a while ago, just sail on, press on, climb on.
Right.
Amen. Just keep on climbing for God. It's hard, it's difficult, but there is a payday someday.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You stay with God. And you honor the Lord, and you honor your preacher, and you do what's right, and God will bless you. I promise you that, according to the book. Amen.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to be tonight in Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. And this is my prayer tonight. This is my prayer. This is my prayer going into this message tonight, into this word. And that is simply this. If you're here tonight and you're saved, I hope you'll leave here a little more thankful than you were when you came. Maybe tonight God will remind you just what He did for you on Calvary. It's my prayer tonight, if you're here tonight and you're struggling about being saved. Anybody here tonight ever struggled about being saved?
Yes.
I'm a preacher and I've struggled with it before.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all had times to where we've even doubted it.
Yeah.
I've heard some people say, oh, since the Lord saved me, I ain't never doubted it. I bless them, but I know I have. Even John. Oh, what a man of God John was. John heard God speak audibly from heaven. God leaped in the womb before he was even born. When he got around Jesus, he knew God. He knew Christ. He heard him speak, "This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased." But when John got in prison, he even had doubts.
He sure did.
He said, "You go ask the Lord if it's him, because I don't even know. Should we even look for another?" I'm going to tell you something. You may be going through some things tonight, or maybe the devil just constantly rocks your world about this thing of being saved, and you struggle with it. Well, I pray tonight that God would give you some confirmation about salvation.
Yes, Lord.
Confirm it in your heart, because you will never do, and you'll never be what you need to be. You'll never do what you need to do if you constantly live in doubt. I heard when they were building the Golden Gate Bridge many, many years ago, there were several people that had died. Numerous people kept falling off. I forget the number. It was several people that had died while they was building that bridge. And they found that they got so slow, they got so behind in the work because people were so scared while they were working on that bridge. They developed this big, great net underneath them. They said it was unbelievable how fast that they picked up the pace. Everybody was working, not afraid. I'm afraid a lot of times that's the way it is in the church.
Right.
Because if you're constantly thinking you're fixing to fall off and die and go to hell, you'll never work for the Lord.
Right.
And you'll never be as effective as you could be. But when you realize, thank God, there is a safety net. Amen.
Amen.
You put your faith in Christ, it'll make a big difference in your life. Don't live in doubt. This is my prayer tonight. If you've never been saved, tonight would be the night. Thank God you'll get it settled.
Yes.
And you'll know that you're born again. Amen. All right, I've got to hurry. Praise the Lord. I've got to preach. Amen. Luke chapter number 23. Find your place. Please stand. Luke 23. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 33. Luke 23. And let's read verse number 32 and 33. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I'm interested here, if you would, in verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. I'm interested in that phrase, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Which side are you on? I want to preach on that tonight. Which side are you on? You can be seated tonight. Lord, we're asking again. Lord, we've already asked, but God, we're asking one more time that you'd help us another time this side of glory to declare and to preach the infallible riches of the cross of Jesus Christ. God, would you help us tonight, Lord, to put words in our mouth, thoughts in our heart. Help us tonight. If there's one here tonight never been saved, this would be the night. If there's one struggling, they'd get it settled. And Jesus would get all the glory. In Christ's name I do humbly pray. Amen and amen. When Jesus died, right here in this text, the Bible plainly declares in verse number 33 that He was not the only one that died on the hill that day. The Bible declares that there were three crosses. And one was the cross of redemption. That is the Savior. That is the Lord Jesus who was dying for the sins of the world.
Yes.
And the other, the Bible said, was a cross of reception. He was a sinner who became a saint and he died to his sin.
Right.
And the other, you find, there is a cross of rejection. He was a sinner, he died a sinner, and he died, the Bible speaks here, in his sin. And the reality, when you go back and speak here of Jesus dying between these thieves, it was not an accident. You can go into the book of Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus walked up that hillside. The Bible said in Isaiah 53 that He was numbered with the transgressors. And the Bible said here that one between these two malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the Bible said when they both went up that hill, that they were both on the wrong side. They went up that hill, both of them were wrong, and both of them were sinners, but one of them got on the right side. And the way that he got on the right side of God is the same way that you and I have to get on the right side of God. The same way that thief went to heaven is the same way that you and I are going to heaven. Now there's three things I want to hurry tonight and show you on how to get on the right side. Amen. Don't die on the wrong side of God. Amen. Notice three things here tonight. They got this boy from the wrong side to the right side. Now notice first of all, if you would, beginning in verse number 39. And then there was a revelation of his sin. In other words, the Bible said, and one of the malefactors, verse 39, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him. And this is what he said, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. If you want to get saved tonight, there has got to be a realization or a revelation. It's got to be revealed to yourself that you are a sinner. All of a sudden, the Bible said, this man said, I realize what I've done. It's been wrong. I am getting the due rewards of my deeds. So he realizes that it is his sin that has put him on that cross. But oh, honey, it went beyond that. And that is for the first time in his life, he is realizing that it is his sin that put Jesus on that cross. For the first time of his life, he realizes that he is lost and he is the reason that Christ is dying for his sin. I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's the same way it is with everybody who's ever going to be saved. There has got to be a revealing of their sin, a revelation of their sin, a realizing that they're the ones who did the wicked deed that caused Calvary to take place in the first place. And that's not going to happen until God reveals that we are a sinner. Right? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, and this is where it gets interesting, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. In other words, I would say it like this. If the light bulb don't ever come on in the dark room, you're going to die and go to hell. Right? There's got to be a revelation of sin. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And honey, I'm going to tell you what, it is God that shows us what we are. For this man, it had to be revealed that he was a sinner. And because it was revealed that he was a sinner, the Bible said he begins to fear God. You notice in verse number 39, if you would, 39 and 40, he said in verse, dost thou not fear God? Oh, and his fear of God, it led to his faith in God. But the Bible said this other man, the one that died on the wrong side of Calvary, the fact that he never feared God. I'm going to tell you what, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what's wrong with the world today. People don't fear God. That's what you read in Romans chapter number 3. There was no fear of God before their eyes. That's why the world's in the mess that it's in. That's why our country's in the shape. That's why our churches are in the condition that they're in tonight. No fear of God. Do what you want to do. If it feels good, do it. And that's the problem of America. That's the problem in the world. And the Bible said this man, he never feared God. But notice what happens here in verse number 39. Notice this, look what the Bible said here. In verse 39, notice what it said. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. He has no fear of God. He just walks off of that cross. It's not the fear of God that he has no fear of God, but the problem is the only thing he wants down from that thing. I think about that. That's where a lot of people are going to miss heaven tonight. You go over that story in Exodus chapter number 8, the story of Pharaoh. And you remember God sent those plagues, right? And you remember there's a story there where God sent all those frogs. You remember back to the frogs come up, the frogs was in their bed, it was in their ovens, it was everywhere was frogs. And Pharaoh said, please take away these frogs. And Moses said, okay, I'm going to talk to God, we're going to take away these frogs. You know what happened? As soon as Moses prayed and told God, the frogs got gone, but guess what happened? Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. In other words, I'm going to say it like this. The problem was with Pharaoh, he just wanted the frogs gone. He didn't really want a relationship with God. And that's where most people are. He just walks down off of that cross. He doesn't want a relationship with God. He just walks out of the mess that he's in. Oh, honey, it's got to be more than just wanting to get out of the mess that we're in. It's going to be more than just getting out of a bad situation. We got to want to have a fellowship and a relationship with Almighty God. And that starts with a fear of God. There was a revelation of his sin. The second thing, notice me if you would, this right here. Not only must there be a revelation of sin, but notice there is a recognition of the Savior. Now, go with me back into, hold your place right here, and go back with me just a little while to the book of Matthew, and we're going to read here one or two verses in Matthew chapter number 27, but hold your place right over there in the book of Luke 23. Go back to Matthew 27 and notice that there was here this recognition of the Savior. Now, this man who went up the hill on the wrong side, but got on the right side, he didn't realize who Jesus was to begin with. Now, notice in Matthew 27, notice if you would, in verse number 41. Notice this right here. Likewise, also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also. Do you see that? The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. All of a sudden, I'm realizing here, when I read Luke 23 and I read Matthew 27, it doesn't say that the one heathen thief was the only one who was reviling on him. It said both of them. They both cursed him. They both spat on him. They both mocked him. They both ridiculed him when they were walking up that hillside and there on that cross. But all of a sudden, thank God, while hanging there and watching Christ hang beside, something began to change in the heart of this criminal. How many of you remember the day that, thank God, you recognized who Jesus was?
Amen.
Amen. That began to change in his heart. He recognizes who the Lord is. I'm going to tell you something. I looked up here real good. Any time that you begin to realize who you are, and then you realize who he is, something good is going to take place.
Yeah.
Amen. When you finally get them two together, it's going to get good.
Yeah.
Oh, he's realizing who Jesus is for the first time of his life. Back over in Luke 23. Watch this right here. He sees him in verse number 41. He sees Christ as the sinless one. He said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, this man sees Christ for who he is, as the sinless Son of God. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Judas said, I've sinned. I've betrayed innocent blood. Simon Peter said, neither was there sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Christ, somebody said that God can do anything. God cannot do anything. God cannot sin. He is a sinless Savior tonight. Thank God. He walked upon this hill. He was law points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. If Christ sinned, he needed a Savior just like we did. But I'm going to tell you, it's not that he sinned. He was sinless because he was God. Amen. He was God incarnate, God in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us, the sinless Savior. He does nothing, he said. He saw him as sinless. Verse number 42, he saw him as Savior. Verse 39, watch this right here. You got to see it. Verse 39, the Bible said, and one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, now I want you to circle this word right here. Now this one man that has no fear of God, he's living his life if. Do you see that word?
Yeah.
If thou be. If thou be Christ. But notice, if you would, in verse number 42. But the other thief said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. While all of the others, while the ones that are down there hanging Jesus, there's a crowd that had gathered that day, and this other thief who's hanging beside Jesus, they all said, well, maybe. If he might be, if thou art. But this other thief who got on the right side of God, amen, he said, I know this man is Lord. I'm led, thank God. I'm going to tell you, friend, that Philippian jailer. You remember the story, the Philippian jailer, he was in a mess, got to the great earthquake, and took Paul and Silas free, and he cried out to the preachers, what must I do to be saved? And those men of God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible said, if you'll confess it with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, I believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I know the Bible said in Philippians chapter number 2, that God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. I'll tell you something tonight. Everybody who's ever been born, ever will be born, one of these days, be in this life of this great white throne judgment,
going to call Jesus Christ Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't care if you're black, white, rich, poor, Democrat, Republican, Auburn fan, or reprobate Alabama fan. Can I do it? It don't matter who you are. It don't matter where you came from. I don't care if you're the President of the United States, you're going to bow before King Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this man saw Christ as Lord until somebody sees Christ as Lord. In other words, let me put it to you like this. If Jesus is not Lord of all, He probably ain't Lord at all. Because somebody who is Lord of your life is somebody that you're submitted to, somebody that you follow, and if you won't follow Christ, you're probably not in the family.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
He saw Him as Lord. He saw Him as sinless. He saw Him as Savior. He saw Him as sovereign, verse 42. And He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Yes.
He saw Him as sovereign. What do you mean by that? Well, He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Who's over kingdoms? Ask the question, who's over kingdoms? King. Boy, he sees him as not just another man.
That's right.
He sees him the first time. This man's king. Now tell you something out of here. You see Jesus for who he is, you'll never want him.
Right.
He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the sovereign God.
Amen.
That came to die in your place because of your sin, because of your deeds. And thank God, until you come to that place and realize who he is, you'll never be saved. The third thing, I'm done. There's a realizing of his sin, a revelation of his sin. There's a recognition of the Savior. The last thing, that is, there is the receiving of salvation. See, any time that you realize who you are, remember the day you got saved, throw up your hand, praise God. Do you remember that?
Amen.
Do you remember how you heard something you ain't never heard before?
Right.
That's right.
You felt something you ain't never felt before.
Yeah.
There was something going on the inside. You never really saw yourself for who you really were till that day. You remember that?
Yes.
And you knew only Christ was the answer.
That's right.
Notice this right here. There's a receiving of salvation. He broke every commandment. He's a robber. He's a thief. Look up here just a second. This guy would not be very welcome in our community. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't like thieves.
Amen.
Somebody ought to help me.
Amen.
I mean, I think thieves are about the biggest scumbags on the face of the earth.
Amen.
I mean, I got guns in every room of my house because of thieves. Somebody ought to help me. I don't want to hang out with no thief. I don't want to hang out with... You can't trust the thief.
Right.
This man is a thief. But he received a wonderful salvation. Moments before he died, he cried, Lord, remember me. Now notice what he received here in this receiving of salvation. First of all, it was a gracious salvation. Would you help me say amen?
Amen.
A gracious salvation. The Bible said here, he said, Lord, would you remember me? And thank God, Jesus said, absolutely, I'll reserve a place for you. And honey, this man right here, he was not saved by good works. Somebody hit. He didn't have none. He was a thief. Amen. He didn't get saved by being baptized. He didn't have time to run down there to the creek. He didn't get saved because he joined up with a Baptist church. Most of them wouldn't have had him if they could have. Oh, but honey, this man had one thing only, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This man said, in my hands no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I thank God for that. I am a product of the grace of God.
Amen.
And you
you are as well.
Yes,
tonight we are trusting by the grace of God. It take the grace of God to love me. It take the grace of God to love you tonight. God's unmerited favor. You're not going to heaven because you're good.
Amen.
You're not going to heaven because you're from Alabama.
Right.
You're not going to heaven tonight because you're American. Boy, a lot of people think because they're American, God's going to favor them one of these days. No, sir, no, man. Only way you're going to go to heaven is because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Only reason you're going to go to heaven is because of the grace of Almighty God.
Yes, sir.
He received a gracious salvation. He received a guaranteed salvation. Notice in verse 43. He said, Lord, verse 42, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. That's an interesting word in verse 43. He said, I want to go to heaven. And Jesus said, verily, I say unto thee. Now, that word, verily, right there, literally means amen.
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 The word amen is a word of affirmation. It is a guarantee of a truth that has been spoken.
Right.
I say God is good, and you say amen. That says, yes, I agree with what you're saying. I can say Jesus saves, and you say, amen. Yes. That's what that word means. So let's read it like this. This man said, I want you to remember me in verse 42. I want to go to your kingdom. I want to go to heaven. And Jesus said, amen.
Amen.
He said, yes. And tonight, praise God, Jesus, all that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. I don't care how sorry, I don't care how much you've gotten into, I don't care how good, how religious, it does not matter. If you want to come to Christ and be saved, Jesus said, yes, come on. I'll take you.
Yes.
Come on, come on, but come by the way of the cross.
Yes.
It is a guaranteed salvation. Preacher, how are we guaranteed? How does he have a guarantee that he's going to go to heaven? Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven.
Amen.
Ain't that a blessing? Nobody wants to go to heaven.
Right.
So what's my guarantee? Look up here. You ready for something? I know I'm good. I don't say that to burn. I ain't nothing to me. I'm as sorry as the dirt you walked in here on tonight. But I know I'm
going.
How do you know you go? Some of this crazy thief in this Bible got a guarantee he's going. You don't have this man got a guarantee. You ready for this? Boy, you're putting doctor in front of my name and I tell you what I'm doing. Dr. Cooper will give you a good word. Now, you ready for this right here? How did that man know his God? Let me tell you how he knew. Because Jesus said so.
Right.
Ain't that a
blessing? Amen.
Ain't that a blessing? Because Jesus said he is the Lord.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something tonight. Can I tell you how and why you can have a guarantee tonight that you're as good, that you're hell-proof? That you can go to bed tonight, lay your head down on your pillow tonight, and quit worrying about if you've been good enough, if you've been bad, if you've been stuck too many times, or have you been unfaithful, or you've sinned for too many times, or, and there's all that worry, all that threat, all that failure, all that devil trying to get up in your head and mess with your mind, and all that stuff you're having to go with and live with, how it tortures and drives out. Come on, get that problem solved. Thank God you are going to heaven tonight, but when Jesus tells you that you are.
Amen.
God, I'm glad. You said, wait a minute, 1 John 5:13. Let me just tell you what the Bible says. These things have I written unto you that you may know that ye have eternal life. I know tonight I'm going to heaven because God said tonight, you've got a guarantee. We are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That Word of God is what your faith is in. You put your faith in God's Word, not in your feet.
Right.
It's amazing to me. I'm Mexican. There was a year ago, John had this boy, me and Brother Paul was talking to, young teenage boy. We said, like, we got after the church over with this one, got a kick out of it. This is what I said to him. He said that often. He was crying. He said, preacher, pray for me. I'm saved. I'm getting struggling with it. And he goes back. The boy's been locked down the house 3 times. I've been baptized. He's never had hope by me. Baptized for 3 times. He's still falling. But the last time he's been baptized. And he goes down the hall. And he's praying. Oh, he's crying. He's crying. He said, I don't think God will be able to be no more. What are you doing, Mom? Somebody else has.
Yeah.
There is none. Romans 3. There is none that people can come. The Bible says word for word. Read Romans 3 when you got to go. There is none that understands. There is none that can get back from man. That they don't see that. God comes from God.
That's right.
What you doing in the altar? Don't you see the man of the Lord coming? It looks like me. We're going to look at something. That's God. We're
going
by faith. Don't afraid.
Right.
It's just that. If you'll turn from your sin and trust Christ, you say,
amen. Yes. Yeah.
Go home and be happy.
Yes. Yeah.
Rejoice. Your sin are lost forever.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a guarantee. You can live that guarantee. You shall man. God bless you. I'm happy to be here. God's kind of sweet, Brother Kerr. Every time the Holy Ghost is coming at me, Brother Kerr, just like your word. Pick out your soul by your hand. I just hope by your hand. That's what I've had time to tell you to stand on me so that you can be gone and tell you what you want. I don't know if I'm going to go through a case that I'm bad. I listen to it. I talk about that. That's the only thing I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to do this one down. And I don't know why. I'm going to have to do this one down. I'm going to have to do this one. Be look, be there, be there, and hope I'm making, hope I'm getting, and hope I'm
there,
hope I'm
that.
I know. Because Jesus said it. Amen.
Amen.
Here you go.
That's right.
It's a glorious salvation. He says, you're going to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you something nice. You can go. If you want to go. How? There was a revelation. It was revealed to him that he was a sinner. There was a recognition of the Savior. He, for the first time, recognized. He went up that hill, cussing Jesus. Down on the cross, on the chains. He recognized his Savior. There was a receiving of knowledge of grace, guarantees of grace, of glory, salvation. You go up to heaven. Do you ever tell you something that I'm gonna blow your mind. Do you ever tell you something? I'm gonna tell you something. Ever dawn on you the first person Jesus took to heaven with him from Calvary? Was
it?
He didn't take no Baptist preacher, no Baptist deacon, no Sunday school teacher, or preacher. First person Jesus took to him was the Lord. I'm glad that I didn't know who you are. I'm just a bad king.
Help us, God.
I bet there's some of you tonight who don't believe that we still fall in our own past. Anybody stop me if you made up about your past? I tell you, I don't say it with all.
Amen.
That'll make somebody shout.
Amen.
Your sins are all as far as the east is from the west. So far that I can move God's sins. You don't have no past. God will take your sins and throw them in the sin of forgiveness. And I will not remember that. I'm going to be free. I'll be mad. And he is glorified by the resurrection. Will not. If God can forgive, so can we. There's a glorious salvation of the saints. All the time, all he was a sinner. All the time, he was a saint. This guy. And it's a matter of not forgiving, but the Lord does. Because that God is in you. Now, we all know because His Word is in you.
That's right.
It's about time to close. Everybody standing.
If you're able tonight, I want you to stand. This altar's open. If you need to get some help tonight, get some things settled, it'll be a wonderful night to do so. Why don't you come tonight? Macy, sing. You obey the Lord tonight. There's somebody to pray with tonight. Just lift up your hand. We'll pray with you. We'll show you tonight how to have it settled in your heart. Yes. Won't you get some relief tonight? Humble cry.
calling.